end of service, but we have our family service, and so that week right before Thanksgiving, we want to try to get every family at our church into service that day. We got a lot of people out sick and traveling right now, but we want to make sure we get everybody here. Looking forward to having a great time there. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at the entire chapter, so if you would, stand with me for the reading in honor of God's word this morning. And we'll read the entire chapter together. We're talking about giving and giving our best this week as we're looking at Guarding Our Hearts and Homes Month. But specifically, we talk about our families and we talk about our own spiritual purity and clarity from the Word of God. And so Colossians chapter 3 is a divide from chapters 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul now focuses and shifts from the principles or the fundamental truths that we would serve as the foundation of our beliefs and how that impacts our behavior, to now he begins to put those principles and says, how do we put those principles, what we believe, to practice? How do we do these things? And Paul begins here with a condition, with the condition being, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things in earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but by in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, I pray now you would hide me behind your cross. Allow me to speak only of thus saith the Lord. Allow the hearers of the word to be doers also. Father, we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. You've heard it said, and they all have catchy tunes to it, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is your best. And in the Christian walk, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 sums it up this way, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3 is an assumption for the Christian. It says, if ye are risen, or you then be risen with Christ. So if you are saved, Paul is saying that he is assuming you're already doing these things. The list at the beginning is all these things that Christians, he assumed that we already put off, that we're no longer a part of. He puts here to us that we're no longer in this anger or wrath or malice or blasphemy. We have no more filthy communication, which also could mean gossip, not just cursing. That we're not lying to one another, but we've put off the former man and we've put on, the wording in the Greek talks about how we put on new clothing. That when you have on old garments or old clothing or something that's stained or dirty, that we take that off and we replace that with something new. And the implication is when you take off old or tattered clothing and you put on new or clothing that is fully put together, that it's better than the old clothing. And I can testify as a sinner saved by grace that I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm better than I used to be. And that by putting on the new man and putting off that old man, that I'm in a much better position. But I will say this to you, that didn't happen because of my works or because of how good I am. That only happened by the grace of God and by the word of God, which the Bible says here is dwelling richly in us through Christ. I only know how to act because of the word of God who has enacted through me and in me the possibilities to put off the old man and to be a new creature where old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. And because of that today, we should give thanks to God. Amen. Because it is impossible without the Holy Spirit to be changed. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us regeneration. He's the one that takes away our taste for things we used to have taste for. He's the one that takes our mind away from things our mind used to be focused on. He's the one that gives us a heavenly mind. And so in chapter 2 where it says, set your affection on things above and not on things on earth, the only way that's even possible is through the salvation of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Because before that, my affections were solely set on things on earth. I did it for me. I did it because I wanted it. I. And Paul says Christians ought not live like that. Paul says it a lot of times, but we die daily, or at least we're supposed to. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you died? When's the last time you died? That you died to self, self-interest, self-want, self-thought. When's the last time that you laid it all down to the cross and said, God, not because of I, but because of you, all to the glory of God? Are you doing everything in your life, the very best of your ability, all to the glory of God? Or is there still a part of you that wants to do it for your glory, for your shine? Remember what he says, not for the glory of man, not so that man can say that you're good, but are you doing this when nobody else knows that you're doing it for the glory of God? I'm going to focus here in verse 17 and beyond for most of this. I know what time it is, and so I crafted a short message. I know you don't believe me, but I did. I got to Savannah to preach revival, and I didn't remember. The first time I preached there was a clock, and since then, Pastor McInerney got smarter and took it down. Second time I was there, I guess I just didn't remember or I didn't care. And so I got up to preach Sunday morning last week, and I got up there, I asked him, how long do you preach? When should I be finished? And I got up there, and there was no clock on the pulpit. There's no clock in the back. And I said, well, Lord, have your way and will with my mouth today. And when we get finished, we get finished. Amen. And Pastor McInerney uttered words that have never been uttered in the history of mankind. He said, one of the ladies said, I can see that Pastor Bryson, I can see him in you and that you've had some part of his training. She's like, but the one thing that he didn't get from you is he preaches short messages. What, he's ever said that before? And Pastor McInerney got up there, I was like, hey, I felt really good about myself. And then I start thinking, how long does he preach? Amen. If I preach short. So then after that, I just let it fly. I just start preaching long. I was like, whatever. I was like, look at verse 17 with me. Remember, it's Guarding Our Hearts and Homes Month, but giving our best. And whatsoever you do in word, I want you to get this. In word, or in deed. A lot of times we feel like our deeds, what everybody sees, that's the productive part of us. But in word, how are you in your words towards other people? Now listen to me, not to their face, but behind their back. I'm so glad Jesus don't talk bad about me behind my back. I'm so glad Jesus doesn't have a prideful attitude about me behind my back. I'm so glad that everything Jesus wanted to say to me, he has through his word. And I'm also glad that his deeds matched up with what he did on the cross, that what he said he would do, he did do. And what he said, he's coming back. Brother Randy has on a tie today that says, Jesus is coming back. And I said, yes, he is. Amen. And I said, and he's coming back for me. And he's coming back for all the saints in glory. And I want you to understand this today. Number one, whatsoever ye do, anything you do in word or deed, it says do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you have the new man, everything you do is supposed to be for him. It's supposed to be for him. He's going to go on to a list. I'm not going to get into it. But let me tell you the aspects of life that the Apostle Paul talks about in guarding our hearts and homes. He says, husbands and wives, you're supposed to be the best husband and the best wife to the glory of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to give your very best, and you're supposed to do everything you possibly can. Whatsoever you do, you are supposed to love your wives and not be bitter against them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as is fit in the Lord. Everything you do in that relationship is supposed to be the very best you can do it. You've heard me say it before, and I don't apologize for this. Husbands, I don't care what your wife does, if she's a stay-at-home mom, if she works, if she serves. A real true servant leader still sweeps, still does the dishes, still helps cook, because that's what servant leadership looks like. You say, well, that's not the way that we've patterned our life together. Fine, but I guarantee you, woman to woman aside, if she really was being honest, she would be appreciative if every once in a while you'd get off your hump and help out around the house. And then wives, let me say this to you. If your man's working hard and you stay at home and you're not working, and that's a whole other situation, don't be crying because he ain't home. Don't be crying and saying, when you gonna get there? He's out working so that you can be home. Be thankful and don't go around talking bad about each other. No, love each other as Christ loves you. It's right in the Lord. And when you see that and when you do this, because remember what you're doing, you're not just messing it up for a husband and wife situation, you're messing up the body of Christ when we got just as many Christians getting as divorced as lost people. When the percentages are 50-50 for both, that's embarrassing for the church. Because we're supposed to know better because we know who we are and whose we are. We're supposed to be better than that. And if we were doing it unto the Lord, if we were doing whatsoever you do, if we were doing everything we possibly could for the glory of God, if we really got this in word, because the word of God never returns void unto us. It says what it says. It means what it says. It is what it is. And if you'll just follow that book. If you'll just do what he asked you to do. Hey, ye are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. If you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says that those commandments aren't grievous for us. Those of us that are saved love the commandments of God, and we love the word of God. Therefore, we do the deeds of God. Amen. It's never hard for me to get up and come to church. It's not hard for me to get up and come to church. You know why? Because I love the word of God, and the word of God tells me not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and do it even more as we see the day approaching. And so when I get up on Sunday or when Wednesday happens, you know what? I'm really excited to go into the house of God. Let us say that we are glad when we came into the house of the Lord. I'm really excited. Why? Because the word of God has told me that it's right in the Lord. It's the principle. But now the conduct is the deed to get up and go. People say, well, I love to go to church, but they never go. I love Jesus, I'm a part of the bride, but I'll never come home. Let me try that with my wife. Let me tell you, I'll love you every night, but never come home. We won't be married long. But people say, well, I love the church, and I can watch online. Let me tell you what online church is like, okay? Some of you young boys, listen to me real quickly here. And be pure, so don't listen to pastor and take this. This is just a saying. But watching church online is like kissing your sister through a screen door. That don't count, baby. That ain't your first kiss. Amen. You ever seen My Girl? Amen. Listen, it's a different thing. the body, being in person, the fellowship and the love you can get and the handshaking and all the things, you can't get that through a screen. You know how I know it's different? Because now I know some of y'all aren't as chubby as me, but you ever watch them commercials and you see something that looks delicious on there? I saw when I was out, I saw the Wendy's big chicken tenders, and they looked so good on the commercial, but when I got them in person, they weren't quite as juicy as the TV made it look, amen? And so because I am who I am, I thought, well, maybe it was just this Wendy's. Let me try another Wendy's and see if the tender cook is a little better over here. And I tell you, they weren't any better. They can't get it to look the way it does. See, on the screen, it can be deceptive one way or the other. But in person, you can't be faked out. You can't be tricked. You got to come in here to really see the heart of the church. You got to come in here to really understand the word and deed of Jesus Christ. You got to come in here. You got to come home every once in a while to know what home is like. So whatsoever ye do, it says, children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, you're supposed to obey your parents and love your parents. But fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't just be mean to your kids because you think you have command and charge over them. No, there's a certain amount of compassion and grace that goes into parenting as well. It's not just all punishment. There's also got to be some pleasing because you're doing it wrong. If you're always just vengeful and wrathful, you're encouraging their little heart, and you're going to see where they grow up when they don't want nothing to do with you, and you're going to find out the hard way. And Jesus is saying, listen, he loves his father and his father loves him. That's the perfect father-son relationship. And the father called down and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But he also told the apostles at the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye him. You know why? Because I'm a good father. He's a good son. So do what my son says, because he's also God and he's the son of God. And he's walking this earth perfectly for 33 and a half years for you. And so he's going to go to the cross and die for you. So the least you could do is live for him. If he gave those commands to James, John, and Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration, those same commands stay with us today. Amen. Whatsoever ye do. He says, servants, obey all things in your masters. It talks about your employment. Christians ought not be bad employees. You leave a job and everybody's dogging you and talking about you. You've been lazy. You've been trifling. You've been acting up and you got a bad reputation. Shame on you, because even if you don't like the boss, even if you don't like the job, you ought to quit instead of stay there and act a fool and make everybody else in the body look bad. Whatsoever you do. Everything. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to like every second of every job. I'm not going to say that. But if you're a lazy sluggard, the Bible talks about that. And then if you go there and all you ever do is complain, oh, let it not be once named among us as Christians when we leave a place that all they do is talk about how bad you were. That's a shame. You ought to grow up. You ought to mature in the Lord and do better. And if you can't do better there, like I said, leave that situation. There's no word that says you can't leave a job. Now, there's a word that says if you won't work, neither shall you eat. Don't get me started, because I could get real crazy right now in a political sense, but I'm not an overly political man. I could get real crazy because I'm still looking for my $2,000. And what kind of benefits does a poor little pastor get? Amen. I'll feed anybody that needs a meal. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to feed a whole bunch of grown children at my house, and somebody got to work. So guess what? Changer works. Now listen, I tell you, whatsoever you do, anything that you do needs to be done with the right heart, the right attitude, keeping in mind that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we're doing it all. And watch what it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. The way that you live your life heartily to the Lord shows how thankful you are to Jesus. But the second thing it says is, whosoever you do it to. Watch this. Now, who do you do it to? In verse 23, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We're not seeking, watch this, we're not seeking to be men pleasers. We're not seeking to do it so that people applaud us. We're doing it so that we're giving thanks to the Lord. And here's what you need to understand. And in that, the last verse of the chapter will explain to us that there's no respect of persons, but it says this, that the Lord, that in verse 24, the second to last verse says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. A lot of Christians have this messed up. A lot of Christians are looking for the reward of men. They're looking for the applause of men. They're more worried about what people say about them than they are about what the Lord says about them. And this is hard, and I'm going to explain something to you for a moment. One of the things that is painstaking to me personally, one of the things that bothers me personally as a man that I struggle with is I don't really like to be told that I've done a good job. And I know that's weird because everybody seems to want to be told they've done a good job, but it's not something I particularly like. Because the emphasis turns away from the Lord and turns on to me. And you just have to understand that I know me and that in me dwell no good thing. And that anything that I have that's a blessing or anything that's good or anything that's positive that's come from my life and in the ministries that I've been a part of, it all is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I realize that about myself. And so when I go somewhere to preach and people are like, oh, that was a great message, I just say thank you for being here because I always recognize that nobody has to come and hear you preach. And it's only because of the Lord. They're not coming there because they love me. They're coming there because they love the Lord. At least my hope is that. And so I think about whosoever you do it to, what are you doing and why are you doing it and who are you doing it for? I find in churches a lot of times, people serve in ministries they like. That makes sense. It does. But can I say this to you? The better Christian are the ones who serve in ministries that they don't like, but they do it anyway because they love the Lord. The more sacrificing Christian is the one who goes, I don't really like changing diapers too much, but because I know that we need some of these young mothers to be able to come into church and not have to worry about their children, I'll go in there and serve in the nursery because I'm qualified, and even though it's not my favorite thing to do, I'll do it anyway because I know that whosoever you do it to is like you've done it unto the Lord. Unto the least of these, what you've done unto them is like you've done it unto me. Listen, this is going to sound real kind of crazy coming from the pastor. I hate, capital H hate, having to sing at any point in this church. It's not what I want to do at all. I don't want to be the backup and sing hymns. I don't want to sing praise and worship. I don't want to do any of that stuff. But what I've realized is sometimes you got to lead by example. And for the people who really can sing that sit out there and won't do it, then people like me who really can't sing, when I just get up there and do it anyway, what I'm saying is it's not my favorite thing to do, but I'll do it, and I'll do it to the best of my ability, heartily unto the Lord, because the Lord's asked me to do it. I mean, this is kind of a realization that most Christians don't have. Most Christians think, well, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. Yeah, but most Christians do the things they like to do. You know how I know that? Let me sting you for a moment. I've only preached here once in the last month, so this is how I know it. Because most Christians won't show up to grow because they don't like to go door to door and knock on doors. They'd rather do this. They'd rather go deer hunting. They'd rather hang out. I'll do all the things I want to do on Sunday and Wednesday, but I don't want to have to show up on Thursday and knock on doors because that's going to cost some effort. That's going to cost some gas. That's going to cost some time. That's going to be a little bit harder to do, and I'm going to have to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ when, in reality, the only true follower of Jesus Christ are those who are fishers of men and tell other people about Jesus Christ. You can serve in the nursery and not really be a follower of Jesus. You can help in the kitchen and not really be a follower of Jesus. You can sing in the choir and not really be a follower of Jesus, but you can't go out and witness and not be a follower of Jesus. If you're witnessing, you are a follower of Jesus. And then I think about that and I think to myself, the one thing that Jesus required of us in the Great Commission is the thing that most Christians don't want to do because they haven't died to self. I'm afraid. I don't have time. Here's my favorite one. I don't know how. Well, if you'll just listen to invitation, you've been here 52 weeks, and we've done it twice a day on Sunday. That means you got 104 times to hear the pastor or one of these assistants go through the gospel completely. If you can't learn something after 104 times, then we're going to get you a tutor. I don't know how to witness. I don't know where you've been. And then we made it simple. You remember I told you that I don't really know how to direct a choir? I just read a book, Choir Directing for Dummies. Guess what? We gave you witnessing for dummies. Recognize your condition. If you can read, you can witness. And if you can't read, well, guess what? We got people that can help you with that too. I'm not even making fun of you. We got people. We're teaching little kids in Heavenly Hearts how to read. Your pastor's not the smartest person in the world, but I can read. I can put letters together. And I can get you to a point where you can say, do you know for sure if you died today, you would go to heaven? I don't know. Well, let me explain to you what Jesus has done in my life. But we don't do it because we don't want to, because we haven't died to self. It's just the reality of it. You say, that's hard, that's mean. Okay. Too bad, too sad. The truth and love hurts sometimes, but it's supposed to. But then it says, whenever you do it. Watch this. Whenever you do it. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Watch this. Whenever you do it, whenever you are serving the Lord, whenever you do that, that the timing of it, it's not about out front. I'm cautiously going to say this. Even in our church, in every church, and now I've been around long enough now, and God has allowed me to see that wherever you go, preached at a men's conference last night in Germantown, and even there in a crowd of 40 or 50 men, that there are some whenever Christians. Whenever I get around a crowd of people, I'm going to be the most fired up, best Christian there is. And those whenever Christians, a lot of times what I've learned about them is they're the people that are telling you whenever they get an opportunity how great they are. Whenever they get an opportunity, I have never even met you, and the first thing you do is, yeah, man, I do this at the church and this at the church and this at the church, and I'm not the pastor. I just met you, and my only thing is, do you want a cookie? What do you want from me? Congratulations. So what? Manuel Reed is 106 years old, and she cleans the bathrooms at our church every week. She'll be 107 in December. She's not going. But you know what? She's not standing at the door and telling everybody that walks in here. Nobody would know it except for the other cleaning people unless I said it out loud. Dave Fortunato has the worst job in this entire church. Teenagers, listen to me. Don't wear glitter or Brother Dave's going to kill you, okay? Because Brother Dave takes the lint roller and the dustbuster to all these seats and rolls off your glitter butts and rolls it off. It's like a bunch of angel dust was in here, not the drug. But listen, that was I know it's Trotwood, but that's not what I meant. Amen? Listen. He has to go around and he sweeps those things. And it got so bad, Brother Dave recruited some help. And so the Ellises and Miss Debbie and whoever else can just roll. It's a terrible job, but Brother Dave would never tell you. He's not standing out the front going, guess what I did? No. Just whenever it needs done, he does it. But he's not a whenever Christian telling us whenever he gets the opportunity what he's done. There's some really crummy jobs at this church. I'll be honest with you. Brother Xavier is the weed-eating guy on Thursdays. And we're so mean that we make him do it with a battery-powered weed eater. And so the battery dies, and he has to walk all the way back from there and get another battery and go back. And you know what? But he doesn't go around telling everybody. He did that for 2 years completely free of charge. Now he works part-time, and he gets a little bit of pay. But he did that for 2 years. As soon as he got a car, he just did that. Every week, that's just what he did. Brandon had to teach him how to do it because there's no weed eating at my house because we just spray everything. Amen. We don't fool no weed eating. That's stupid. But at the church, it's good training. It's a terrible job. You know why I know it's a terrible job? Because as soon as I got to pass it along to somebody, I did. Hi, Brother Brandon. Brandon, you're the weed eating pastor now. And Xavier came. We were like, guess what, Xavier? Brother Brandon's going to pass that along to you. That's how this works. But they're not out front. Oh, you know what? This is a good one. This is a really good one. There are people in our church every single week who serve in behind-the-scenes capacities that you never understand or even know that they're doing something. You don't even know they're a part of it. And it's not an out-front job, and they're not telling anybody that they're a part of that ministry. Got all these people that are doing discipleship and all these things behind the scenes and all this stuff, and you probably don't even know who they are. But here's what I'm getting to. Remember I said at the beginning of this is giving our best, but I stressed the word. A lot of times we believe that giving our best are these deeds that we do. But the word of God refreshes me and reminds me that it's not what we're doing, but it's with what heart are we doing it with. And in this guarding our hearts in our homes month, could I encourage you to guard your heart from the vanity and the pride of thinking that you are doing something that can't be done. Let me tell you this, myself included, there's nothing being done in this church that can't be replaced. Nobody here is irreplaceable, including myself. And when we really get that, and we really thank the Lord, Jesus Christ, for what he's done, let me just explain this to you. Jesus has done the only thing in the history of mankind that's irreplaceable. When Judas the apostle died, they replaced him. When the king of Israel fell, they replaced them. When one prophet died, they replaced him with another. When one judge died, they replaced him with another. When one of the forefathers died, there was a Isaac or a Jacob or a Joseph or a Ephraim and Manasseh or a Moses to come on the way. Nothing that's ever been done in the history of mankind is irreplaceable save for the Son of God. And let me tell you this about giving our best. Why do we want to give God our best? Because the truth of the reality of the Bible is that God gave us his very best. God did not send an angel to save us. God says it can't be done with the sprinkling of blood of animals to save us. It couldn't be done through a prophet. It couldn't be done through a king. It couldn't be done through politics. It couldn't be done through the institution of the church. It couldn't be done through the institution of the government. It can't be done through the institution of the family. God said, I have to give you my very best, my only begotten son, that he will lay down his life to pay for the sins of all the world. And only if and when, if you be risen in Christ, only if you accept that upon you. That's the only way, because it took God's very best to save us, because let's be honest, we're the very worst of his creation. Animals don't go out and litter and smoke crack. That's what people do. When's the last time you saw a dog get a DUI? That's what people do. We're the very best of his creation and the very worst of his creation. So God said, I've got to send you my very best. If the creator of the entire universe gave you his very best, his only begotten son, what would be our excuse for not giving back our very best in thanksgiving, in word, and in deed towards him? Remember the condition, if ye be risen. If you're saved, Paul was leaving no excuses. If you're truly saved, there's no excuse not to give God your very best in any condition, in the whatsoever, the wheresoever, the whensoever, the whosoever. There's no excuses if ye be risen with Christ. So the first thing you have to get to yourself and understand is, are you truly risen with Christ? In word, has your word matched up with your deed? Are you truly saved? Only you can truly know that, but we give you an opportunity today. In this time of thanksgiving and giving thanks to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest thing that you could possibly do is to know you're saved and then to live like you're saved. And then to tell other people how they too can be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,